Father, take control and take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I have told this story before. Some years ago, a woman in our church, she'd been separated from her husband for a while, called me after service and said, "I need to see you." That week I was traveling, and I told her that I was going to travel, but by, I think it was Thursday, I was going to come back, this same Thursday, this same tomorrow, but I will be back. So I said, when I come, I'll let you know. So when I returned, I called her. "Remember you were telling me you wanted to see me for some discussion. And she said, "Oh, it's no more necessary. Since she's the one who wanted to talk to me, and now saying it's no more necessary, I don't even know what the subject matter is." So there was nothing to lose. What you don't know, you don't lose, eh? So when you don't come to church, it's like you don't know that you lost anything because you don't know. But there's a cloud of glory. And you better move with the cloud. And the cloud of glory is moving, and you move with the cloud, then the latter rain becomes meaningful. I need the rain. I need the rain. I need the latter rain. I need the rain. I need the rain. I need the latter rain. Give me the rain. Give me the rain. Give me the latter rain. Give me the rain. Give me the rain. Give me the latter rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the latter rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the latter rain. So I didn't think too much about the latter anymore. See, one day, I was in the office, about to close, about 5 p.m. Some of you who remember stories, you will remember the story. And I got a call. The same sister said, who said there was nothing to discuss anymore, called me. "Can I see you, please, now? Like I told you, I started wondering what could be the matter. That is, a single sister who want to see me. That evening I had a program, which I was ready to. It was at Agura Hotel in Abuja. Somebody was launching a ministry. So I was ready. So anyway, when he said I should come now, so anyway, I said a little prayer. I don't know how long it was. I went. And when I got to the house, I sat down. She came and she apologized. "I'm very sorry." I looked, and it was the keys of a car he was handing over to me. She said, at that time I had no car in Abuja. The only car we had as a family was in Lagos. It was my wife and the children, they were in Lagos. And I know us at that time I think I've also mentioned that one brother in the church, who is now also a professor in the University of Abuja, volunteered to be picking me at home to get to the workers' meeting by 7 a.m. because I must not be late. I cannot afford to be late. So anytime I'm telling you, don't come late, you may not understand. So she said that during the service, the previous service, a particular sister was taking the Sunday school. And her focus was, remove not the ancient landmark. Immediately it registered with her, and she started asking herself, what is ancient landmark? What is ancient landmark? So after the service, she went to meet the sister. She said, sister, please, what do you mean by ancient landmark? I don't know whether the explanation was satisfactory. You know, the explanations we are looking for. And the explanations the person will just manage it one way or the other. But after that time, she remembered the reason why she wanted to see me and called me, that she needed to discuss something with me. God had laid it on her heart to give me that car. She struggled with it. So the time that she said, it's no more necessary, was the time she was struggling. There's somebody here, you are struggling. You are really struggling. And you know there are different types of struggle. Have you seen a chicken that they cut the neck? It will struggle, go, until it will just rest in peace. She struggled with it. But she heard about ancient, you ask yourself, what in the world will make that to resonate with anybody? God will always use whatever he wants to use, whoever he wants to use, whenever he wants to use the person. There's somebody here who is going to be used by God. It's a choice, you know. It's a big choice you have. Big. So she handed me the car, and she had two cars then. She had this 504. The very strong, I don't know what they call that particular brand. And she also had a 406. Incidentally, the 406 was weaker, but more fanciful. And I know that car served until it had to relocate. You know, there's something you have now that has to relocate. The more you hold to it, the more you discover that it becomes a burden to you. So what does a wise person do? You say, please, I hereby relocate because you are not my property anymore. So she handed it over to me. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Is it not the same word that we all hear? This Bible the Bible we see.
How come the psalmist is now saying that he has hid it in his own heart? This same word. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. This book, day and night, for 24 hours. And he even tells us that that is the key to your prosperity. So the psalmist said, this word, this the one that you even close your own. This one that you close, I've not only opened it, but I've hidden it in my heart, because that is the only way I will not sin against God. Imagine what goes on in your heart. What it goes on in your heart. You know, your heart is a very fertile ground for thoughts, conflicting thoughts. Big struggle. So the psalmist looked at his life and he said, if I don't hide this word, remember I say hide, not he didn't, he hid it inside. Psalm 25 verse 14 says, the secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him. Secrets are what you hide. There are secrets here. Secrets are here. When you hide it in, it means that you understand things that others may not understand. In Job chapter 24 verse 2, the Bible tells us something very clear about ancient landmarks. They are common, but they are not common. They are uncommonly common. You know, anywhere you go now, you can buy a Bible. Is that not common? Come on now. Anywhere. Just go there. You take your own. How much? 400 naira. You collect it. It's common, but it is uncommon. The treasure that is there. The psalmist said the best place to hide it is inside my heart. Because if I don't hide it there, I will sin against God. Why was he so conscious about sinning against God? Why? If he decides to sin, what can anybody do to the psalmist? Of course, you know that psalm is praise. When praise refuses to acknowledge the object and subject and the personality of praise, is that name still relevant? So he hides it in his heart. So he becomes the heart of the matter. Because like somebody said a while back, he said the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. He hides it in his heart. I say, at what age can you hide something? You know, there are children that they'll be doing, they'll go and hide something. There's a name they call that game. Hide and seek. Hide and seek. That thing is very interesting, though. At times the child will hide it behind me. Say, go and look for it. And the other children will start running about. They are looking for it. Then one of them will just see at the back. Say, look at it. It's a lie. The life of children is so simple. So Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom. When you choose to be a child, and you know what Solomon said? When Solomon was made a king, he said, I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go out, and I don't even know how to come in. I mean, undergraduate level, 300, 400, postgraduates. You don't know how to go out and come in. You don't know the way to the new hall. You don't know the way to the to Chelsea versus Arsenal. You know when they are playing it. You must be there. If there is service in the house of God, Chelsea versus Arsenal is priority, because football you have hidden in your hearts that you may not sin against your love for football. That is why you struggle. So for the psalmist, it was hidden in his heart. You don't see secrets of the heart except it is unveiled. You don't see it. It is hidden. That's why you will see some people that really are carrying some weight. You could see somebody who just sit down and begin to shake the head. What is the matter? Tell me now. It's too heavy. It is a secret. A particular father told the children a secret. And I want to tell you that secret, because it is inside the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 35, there were people called the Rechabites. Rechabites. There's a biting element to their name. And God told Jeremiah. Now, if you read the book of Jeremiah, when you say they are men of God with integrity, Jeremiah was one of them. Whatever God told Jeremiah, there was no, let me make it to please sister. He will say the way God has told him. And that put him in trouble. So in Jeremiah 35, God told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to go and meet the Rechabites. In verse 2, he told them that he should go, told him we should go with wine. He should go to the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers of the house of the Lord, and give them to drink. See, you also consider this matter. I want you to think about it. Carry wine to the house of the Lord. Not just the house, general house, inside the chamber. Maybe the pastor's office. And give the wine to the Rechabites. Is it not God that said? God said, oh, the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. Has God said? He asked. Eve, has God said? Did God tell you that if you eat, that you will die? You know, you are asked that question regularly. What is wrong with watching movie. What is wrong with that? Is it not, I mean, what have we not seen before? What is wrong with that movie? When people have over 100 movies on their laptop. Watch it now. At least you will see the way they, so that you don't have to go into the world. Not that when you get married, you'll be asking, you don't even know what to do. Go and see it in that movie. That boy has it. This one was no movie. This one was for real. The man of God carrying wine. Ah, I can imagine what happened that day. Jeremiah carrying wine. And he's, did he say he's a Christian? Jerry, brother Jerry, carry wine. Some years ago, I had a neighbor. The neighbor told me, please, I would like to use your fridge because I'm expecting visitors. I said, no problem. I mean, is it not my fridge? No problem. When my neighbor landed with cartons of beer, I did not know whether to, I don't even know what, I was really confused. I was angry, I was everything, because I gave him an open check. So you can imagine that Brother Jeremiah carried wine. The first thing that Pastor Peter will say, did you say God talk to you? Wine. Are you sure you hear from God? Carry wine into the, it's not even outside, you carry into the house of God. That's why, as we are dealing with denominational differences, you don't know what God told your overseer. You don't know what God told the other overseer. If God told the other overseer to carry wine, there is a purpose. God doesn't need to explain it to you. If you have the conviction that that is your church, you go there as long as you are born again. So I just can't imagine the way things went that day. He not only passed the first gates, I know the first gates. He went to the second gate and went to the inner sanctuary, the chamber, gathered the children of the Rechabites. And in verse 5, the Bible said that he set the wine before them, gathered them, like you are gathered now. We are here now. If they should serve you beer here, some people will drink it. Some people will drink it and say it was inside church they gave me. Oh. But you know, Jesus on the inside, walking on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, walking on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, walking on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. You only needed to have been there when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were replying the king. King, you are very powerful, no doubt about that. But we are not mindful to reply you on this matter.
All we know is we will not bow. We know the ancient landmark. We are not going to remove it. So, they told Jeremiah in verse 6. They said, look, some people don't have fathers. And you don't need to go to Oshodi to find them out. They don't know their father. He said, but we have a father. The name is Jonadab. Jonadab. He told us that we should never take wine. Never. And that is what we have talked to ever. No grammar. Absolutely no grammar. Our father told us, not the neighbor. I have a father, Almighty Father. Almighty Father, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Abba, His name is Yah. Oh yes, and Abba, darling, His name is Jesus. Said there was one or two persons who was there who needed to be in this service. There were things I wanted to see. I was not permitted to see then. So they had a father called Jonadab. The father, the same way the father spoke to them is the same way your father has spoken to you. The same way. And he said, you are going to school. Remember whose son you are. Then Jeremiah came and said, God has told me to give you wine. He said, my father Jonadab said, we must never take wine. It doesn't matter the man of God who is saying do otherwise. Any man of God that tells you to disobey God, even if he said he heard from God, we abandon you when you are dealing with the consequence, even though he has to pay. He has to pay. He will not be there. So you see the reason why Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that I don't want to be a signpost. After preaching the gospel to others, you were in the choir. Oh, you were in the prayer band. Is it not before our very eyes? Some who were very active as workers, I didn't even see them in church again. Our father told us that we must not take wine, whether it's from Switzerland or France, no matter where they made the wine, wine is wine. Those who deal with wine, you know, there are different categories of those who they call them wine bibbers. Wine bibbers. There are some people, they can, when they see wine, they can tell you the quality of the wine. There are some wines that are very expensive. Very. And in John chapter 2, Jesus went to a wedding. What else will you serve in a wedding if not wine? Although I've learned a lesson years ago, and I think I've told you, when me and my wife went to a wedding, hoping that we were going to eat there. And after that experience, nobody preaches to us anymore. It's a once in a lifetime experience. So they came and said, the wine has finished. You know, in the case of Jeremiah, the wine was plentiful. He carried it. And the mother asked the son, do something now, because you have the power. And the son said, my time has not yet come. Hasn't come. Some of us don't know that it's not every time you do some things. There's a time for everything. But what did Mary do? Mary knew that she had birthed a special child. So in John 2 verse 5, he says, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And he has told you the same thing. He has told you. This is what I want you to do. But in the case of Jeremiah, God was trying to do something. There's something God wants to do in your life. You don't understand. And there is something he wants to do. If you look like 2 Corinthians 5:7, if you walk by sight, you've lost it totally. Totally. For he says, you shall walk by faith, not by sight. So Jonadab carried it there. Jeremiah carried it there. And It was rejected. There are many of you now who your pastors are leading you to hell, and you are busy quoting doctrine. And nobody is going to tell you not to to leave your church. Some years ago, I was reading of how they had a particular church. A journalist went to take the photograph. They took the journalist inside and beat him very well. Pentecostal church. They beat the journalist very well. Maybe you want to be a reporter. You think every church is like our own? We will deal with you and ask for forgiveness later. So you are in a church now, and you know that the Spirit of God is not there. The ancient landmark has been removed, but you are still there. Because it's a youth church. It's a youth church. I mean, that's where it's happening. I mean, even when you get to church like this, your collar will be in one direction. You'll be moving like this and be going like this. Everybody say, yeah, my man. Pastor will just come. I say, Everybody will shout hallelujah. At the end of the service, you cannot get one word. But you are there because, I mean, that church is just too much. What do? They will raise up leg. You want to shout hallelujah? Some assault and shout hallelujah. And everybody say, yay, I love that church. I think I told you the story about one of our family friends who had a relation, and their pastor came on TV. The pastor has not said anything yet. But this is their sister. Was already writing. What? Maybe when the pastor will say, the pastor will say, I just can't believe it. What has he said? Nothing. When he comes out of the service, how was the service? It was great. The ancient landmark has been removed. What you have is entertainment. But the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. And hear what God said in verses 13 and 14 of Jeremiah 35. Say, don't you see the children of Jonadab? Their father talked to them. They could not afford to remove the ancient landmark. But my own people, the Almighty God spoke to them. They say, what is that one? God is talking to you. You say, my pastor said, really? You know, some years ago, I encountered one man. And you know, every encounter you have, there's a purpose. I hope you know. The person you are meeting here now, there's a reason. You could have been elsewhere. So when you have any encounter, what is the purpose of this meeting? Why am I hearing what I'm hearing? God was able to testify that these children of Jonadab, they are not fools. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, when some people recognize the fact that God is God. God is God. God is no man. God is God. God is no man. God is God. God is no man. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. God is God. God is God. Jonadab spoke. Jonadab was no more on the scene. Ah, God, I love Jesus. Really? Where is the evidence? God is my Father. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Father, Father, and do not the things that I say? I will not walk in the chapel here, but I'm a worker at home. Really? You know, the God of your pastor at home is different from the one that is here. You have removed the ancient landmark. And if there was no problem, it would not have been a problem. But there's a big problem. When you remove the ancient landmark, big problem. That's why Job 24:2, some are you one of them? Are you one of those who have removed the ancient landmark? Nobody is seeing you. But there is a God who sees both the secrets and the open. The one who has your life in his hands is when you are telling, well, I will start working for you, but let me decide. I've seen some people, they say, when I get to 400 level, really, you are very busy now. And when there is any crisis, Father, remember me. Remember me. Who are you asking to remember you? The children of Jonadab can come before the Almighty God and say, Father, we have obeyed our Father. If you read Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1, talking about obedience, children to their parents, those who are having masters and all that. But for you, you are no more a child, though. You are now a man. You have outgrown the place of surrender. When you outgrow a space that God has given you, you know what you've done? You've become irrelevant. And don't you see that? The work of God is moving on. The work of God is moving on. Are you in or you are out? The pastor has to face God in judgment. You will also face God in judgment. Have you removed the ancient landmark? Let's close our eyes. You are here, you want to surrender your heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, just raise your right hand and we'll pray with you. I want to surrender to you, Lord. I've removed the ancient landmark. If you are raising, raise your hand properly. There's no this to yes. Others, you want to raise your hand, please go ahead. Raise your hand and we'll pray now. And begin to talk to God where you are. I said, Lord, I surrender to you. Have mercy on me. I know I have sinned against you. I know I have done what I should not do. Have mercy. Talk to him like a child to a father. Yes, you've missed it, but the Lord is calling you to himself right now. Those who want to open their eyes, feel free to open your eyes. But those who know that this is about them, talk to God. Say, Father, help me. And you know all these people that are surrendering their lives to Christ, we've told you, come up and let us discuss. Let us talk. Why is it that you are falling and rising? What's the problem? Talk to God and say, Father, help me. Help me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we pray for this, your children, as I've lifted up their hands. They've lifted their hands to you. Father, receive them in Jesus' name. They have confessed that they have gone astray. They removed the ancient landmark. In your mercy, let there be restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, Lord, because as they have put their hands on the plow, they will never look back in Jesus' name. Thank you, covenant-keeping God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.